Yes, Uttama.
Namaste.
Namaste. Can I give this to Bhagwan now?
Of course, Martin Kumar.
So I'm giving now. We can continue.
Hello.
Pranam Bhagwan, namaste.
Uttama, could you ask me the questions?
Yes, yes, Bhagwan. First question, Bhagwan, is everybody would like to know if you could share with us what your vision of oneness is for the next few years.
Yes.
As everybody is very eager and ready to help manifest this vision, what is the best way for everyone to help you at this time?
Yes. First of all, I would like to express my love and gratitude to all of you. The vision and the plan is this. What is most important for us is 2012 and the blessing. And of course, the teachings too. Now, the first thing we would like to do in 2010 is the following.
I think maybe the connection got dropped, so we're waiting to hear back. Specifically what has happened. Hopefully the guys are reconnecting. We definitely apologize to everyone for the technical difficulties.
So I think you could hear me speaking about 2010. In 2010, the trainers themselves would be conducting the courses in their respective countries and would be initiating people into becoming blessing givers. There shall be no control or conditions imposed on the trainers. They would come from their own life experiences and from their own insights and will have the freedom to restructure the courses as they feel best. That's for 2010. 2011, the courses could still continue, but then the blessing givers themselves would be in a position to initiate others into becoming blessing givers. Because by that time, the phenomenon would have grown much, much more. So there will be a large number of blessing givers. The idea is to produce a large number of blessing givers without having to spend money. The year 2012, the blessing givers would organize themselves into either small, medium, or large groups in villages, towns, cities, or wherever they like. And these people will be trained to give blessings to each other periodically, once a week, or once in 15 days, or once in a month. Now, this is completely something which they will be doing themselves. They will be giving dikshas to themselves as groups. It's a very special kind of diksha. This should be started in the year 2012. This is the process. In this process, people's consciousness would be raised. If they happen to be Christians, they would experience Christ consciousness. If they are Buddhists, they would experience the Buddha's consciousness. If they happen to be Hindus, it depends upon what consciousness they would like to experience, either Krishna consciousness or Rama consciousness. If they happen to be Muslims, they would discover the true essence of Islam, and theirs would be an Islamic consciousness. If you happen to be an atheist, you will feel very connected to nature and to fellow human beings. So it all depends upon what one has been seeking and what has been one's conditioning. It will not be the same. If there are 1,000 people, their states, their insights would be in 1,000 different ways. That's why we do not call it sameness, we call it oneness. One could have a Christian experience, one could have a Buddhist experience. Very different, but then they would feel close to one another. They'll feel oneness among themselves. This is what will happen in 2012 because the energies will be shifting in 2012. The energy shift is not brought about by us. It's a natural phenomenon, exactly like what happened in 1989. There was the energy shift, which was made use of by people to bring down the Berlin Wall and finally the fading away of communism and what happened in China and in many other places on the planet. People could do this because there was an energy shift. Similarly, there will be a massive shift of energy in 2012, so people from all walks of life could make use of it. Spiritual people, all kinds of spiritual people could make use of it. We want to make use of it to bring people closer to one another. They'll feel a oneness among themselves. They'll not only feel a oneness inside, but the oneness with fellow human beings and nature and animals and the whole earth itself. So this is the process for 2012. We have to get geared up for this process, which means the phenomenon which began in 1989, which has been called either the Amma Bhagwan phenomenon or the oneness phenomenon, must be completely free. It should not be controlled by either courses or by charges. As long as these two chains are there, the phenomenon is being controlled, it is not being let loose. Unless it is let loose, it will not be able to achieve what it is meant to achieve. It should not be and cannot be held back anymore. You have got to cooperate with me in this. Basically, the trainers must become people who will be initiating others into becoming blessing givers, and in 2011, the blessing givers initiating others into becoming blessing givers, and in 2012, forming the groups who will be giving the blessings to themselves and move on to the next higher level of consciousness. Most of today's problems are because of humanity functioning from a lower level of consciousness. As we start functioning from a higher level of consciousness, these problems should naturally disappear. And the house is on fire. We have no time to waste. This is where I need all your cooperation. We'll hang around till 2013 or 14, helping you stabilize these things. And after March 2014, we would all like to vanish away from the scene. Our continued presence would make it into a cult, would distort oneness. Oneness is not a concept. It is not a word. It's a living experience in the hearts of people. It should continue to live in the hearts of people and may continue for generation after generation. This could happen only if we vanish from the scene. We should go back to our normal, simple, anonymous lives. That is what we intend to do in 2014. That was the answer for your first question. Uttama, could you go on to the second question?
Yes, Bhagwan. Thank you so much, Bhagwan. Second question is, how can we deepen our states and the states of those around us and make it a permanent reality?
To deepen your own state, you must start practicing awareness. You must start with simple physical things. Like, for example, every day in the morning, you brush your teeth. Now, this has become a habit. You must break the habit and become aware of the brushing against your teeth, your gums. Similarly, when you have your bath, it should not be a mechanical, habitual bath where your mind is going back to what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow. You should bring your awareness to every drop of water that is falling on your body, the sensations, whatever is happening, must be fully experienced. Similarly, when you are eating, every morsel of food that is going in must be experienced, not mechanically eaten. If you're going for your morning walk, the movement of your body must be closely observed. The sensations of the wind beating against your body must be experienced. You must start with physical things, which have become a habit. Having done this for 21 days, you should then move on to observing what's happening inside you. If you have done this with the physical things, then watching what's going on inside becomes very, very easy. With this awareness, you slowly discover your state is becoming permanent. And as to helping others, you must learn the art of listening. When people come to you with their suffering or with their problem, you must listen to them without a single comment, either verbally or internally. There should be no judgment, either as condemnation or as praise. They should be simply listened to with complete attention. Then as you listen, you might sometimes feel like touching another person on the shoulder or holding his or her hands or just weeping with them. Just do this and the person will be helped enormously in moving into better states of consciousness. So that is the answer for the second question. The third question, Uttama?
Yes, Bhagwan. Thank you, Bhagwan. What is the best way to deepen our experience with our inner guides, the presence of the divine seated in our own hearts, Bhagwan?
For this, what is most important is the practice of inner integrity. Most of us think that what's going on inside our heads, the reasons we give, are the real problems. But strangely, the real problem is deep inside. what we speak of as a problem is only the created problem. The real problem is much deeper, and you've got to discover it day in and day out. How? Through the practice of inner integrity. As you keep practicing inner integrity, you will soon discover that you're going deep inside yourself and getting in touch with the real problem. Once you do that, you immediately get in touch with the divine. I would like to give you an example here to help you understand this. A very famous neurosurgeon in Delhi, who often takes the help of Amma Bhagwan for conducting brain surgeries, was once confronted with a very serious problem. The patient had severe brain damage from an accident. So this person is normally guided by Amma Bhagwan in the surgery. So that day, there was no guidance. So he began to say, "Bhagwan, Bhagwan, please help me to save this poor man." But nothing happened. Then a little while later, he began to say, "Oh Bhagawan, if he dies, his wife who's standing here would become a widow. His children would become fatherless. So please help Bhagawan." Still nothing happened. Then he waited quietly for some time, went inside, trying to use inner integrity and see what's happening. Then he discovered that he was not at all concerned about the man, nor the woman, or the children. He was concerned about himself because he had a very good reputation as a neurosurgeon with almost no failures. Now he was worried, if this man dies, his reputation should go away. At this point he began to say, "Bhagawan, if this man dies, my reputation should be gone. Please help save my reputation." The moment he said thus, he got connected and the surgery was a grand success and the man just walked away in record time from the hospital. So here we see an example of how inner integrity puts you in touch with the divine. So if you want to get in touch with the Antaryamin, you have to practice inner integrity. Here also is for 21 days. All practices are to be done for 21 days without a break. Only then you would get the breakthrough. But once you get it, you're most likely not to lose it if you continue with your inner integrity. So Uttama, I think the three questions have been answered. So now, shall we move into meditation?
Yes, Bhagwan.
Yes.
So everybody can just be in silence to meditate with Sri Bhagwan now. So is that you, Narasimha Kumar?
Yes, I'm giving to Bhagwan.
Okay, is it okay we open the line?
Yes, please open.
So I'll be opening the lines for everybody to express their deepest of gratitude to everybody. And if you have your phone pressed as star 6, you have to press that as well to unmute.
Thank you. Hello, Uttama?
Yes,
hello.
Narasim Kumar. As you can see, everybody's very touched and excited to be in the presence of Bhagwan. Very powerful meditation. And I believe we will end the phone call now, Narasim Kumar.
1 second, Uttama. Bhagwan wants to speak to you.
Okay.
Love you, Uttama.
Love you too, Bhagwan. We all love you very much, Bhagwan.
Waiting to see you in India. Love you.
Yes, Bhagwan. Thank you, Bhagwan.
Love you.
Okay, Uttama, shall I conclude the call?
Yes. Thank you. Please thank Bhagwan very clearly on behalf of everybody here. As you can hear, everybody's very enthusiastic and very, very happy by everything Sri Bhagwan had to share. So please, on behalf of all of us, thank Sri Bhagwan tremendously from the deepest of our hearts.
Okay, Uttama. I'll conclude the call, Uttama. This is Narsa.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Uttama.
Thank you, Narsa. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, namaste, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for joining the phone call today. As you can feel, you remain in that space. And we thank you all for joining the call today. Namaste, everybody.